This is Block by Block, a community news program from WPPM LP 106.5 FM, where we explore issues affecting the Philadelphia area with news reports from members of the community. I'm Thomas Hagen.
And I'm Sherry Pennington. In the next half hour, we'll hear stories from our community news reporters about an organization that provides a safe space for young people impacted by violence, an initiative to encourage Black and brown students to pursue careers in medicine, a community theater that helps kids build social skills and self-confidence, and the role Black captains play in Philadelphia.
But first, SEPTA ridership fell dramatically during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. While the number of people riding SEPTA trains and buses has gone up since then, many riders feel that SEPTA can and should be doing more to make our transit system safer and more efficient. Block by Block reporter Sunny Morgan brings us this story.
Anyone who rides SEPTA can tell you the various frustrations they have with their commute.
The smell, just how many people be on one thing, is nobody really to control it? Maybe a little bit more security.
To fix that SEPTA app, because they estimate the time of arrival is not accurate.
SEPTA has seen better days since the COVID-19 pandemic slashed ridership almost entirely. The bounce back has been slow. And sustaining key elements like bus drivers, transit officers, maintenance, and janitorial staff has been tough. Liz Smith, SEPTA's chief of staff, explains just how complex it can be to improve the conditions.
We are right now fighting for additional funding in the state budget that we desperately need starting in July. So without additional funding allocated to us in next year's budget, we will see about a $240 million annual deficit in our operating budget. We're working alongside our elected officials in Harrisburg to do everything we can to make sure that that money is included. And we're very appreciative for all of the support we've gotten from our stakeholders and those elected officials and all of our riders and the public. If we don't see that funding come our way, next year is going to be a difficult year for us. Although we have a lot of big plans, a lot of that really does ride on us getting additional funding in the budget for next year from the state.
While most of SEPTA's plans are depending on money from the government, the transit agency was recently awarded $317 million from the Federal Transit Administration. This money will go towards new rail cars for the Market Frankford line. The current fleet of L trains have been in use since 1997. Lance Haver, former consumer advocate for the City of Philadelphia and co-founder of the Philadelphia Hall Monitor, has been following SEPTA since 1978. I spoke with Haver about the current state of SEPTA and their efforts to push forward. Haver believes SEPTA could be doing more for Philadelphians.
SEPTA could be doing more of everything. While SEPTA continues to talk about a fiscal cliff and warning riders and government that if they don't get a specific tax, that they're going to have to raise fares by 30 to 50% and cut service by 30 to 50%, SEPTA sits on over $500 million of cash in a bank that has no retail branches in Philadelphia, that doesn't offer mortgages for Philadelphians, that doesn't support Philadelphia small businesses. SEPTA tomorrow could take 10%, 20, 50% of that money, $250 million, and hire the bus drivers we need so the rides are no longer being canceled, could clean the buses, could put the workers that are necessary, and these may be social workers, they may be aid workers, they may be nurses and doctors, whatever is needed into the subway and L stops to help people who are really struggling, but also to help the riders have an atmosphere that's better so that we're not afraid when we get on the SEPTA L or on the Broad Street line.
Haver agrees that new Market Frankford line cars will be a benefit to the city.
It will certainly help. It's not nearly enough, but if you look at it from the federal government's point of view, we know that the more people who use public transit, the less our demand is for oil, the better it is for the environment, and the more likely it is to have development along regional rail stops and along public transit stops. It's more likely to locate businesses in the city if workers can get them using public transit. The older the trains, the older the cars, the older the system, the higher the maintenance and the operating costs are. So putting these new cars on the line is going to not just make the ride more pleasurable and more comfortable and be better for riders, it's also going to lower the operating costs for SEPTA.
When asking riders what they thought of new trains for the L and what that might do to improve SEPTA, they had this to say.
I don't necessarily think just the trains itself is going to change anything, maybe just the aesthetic and the overall atmosphere.
Women with kids trying to get off and on, and they couldn't because everyone was so packed in. More trains means more room, means more riders, means more convenience. So I'm all for it.
The new L trains are expected to be delivered sometime in the next 5 years. In the meantime, SEPTA is gearing up for other big initiatives, including a smoke-free Philly campaign and the Bus Revolution, which is a redesign of the entire bus network. Dedicated SEPTA riders like Haver expressed the need for people to keep coming out to SEPTA public hearings and making their voices heard.
Best people to tell SEPTA how we use SEPTA is those of us who ride it.
For Block by Block, I'm Sunny Morgan.
Block captains are an important part of Philadelphia's cultural fabric. They can help keep blocks clean, help keep peace between neighbors, and much more. Block by Block reporter Jen DeVore spoke with several block captains to find out more about what they do and what motivated them to become block captains in the first place.
My name is Tracy Gordon. I live in the Southwest Philadelphia area near the airport, also known as Lower Southwest District. And I am going on 25 years as an official block captain for the organization officially called Philadelphia More Beautiful Committee.
Name's Eugene Friesen. I live in Point Breeze, and I've been a block captain for about 9 months now, I think it is.
And my name is Jen DeVore, and I was also a South Philly block captain for the past decade, recently retired. In Philadelphia, we tend to joke that this city is owner-operated. If you want clean streets, you better pick up a broom. Wish to send your kids to public schools? You may need to be overly involved. And if you want a city-quality, big-belly trash can on your block, that's $5,000 that you and your neighbors need to raise. But how do you even begin to coordinate neighbors for that kind of project? That's where block captains come in.
Block captain is the designated person on the block for keeping the block clean. Also tends to be the point person for a lot of other neighborhood activities because someone's got to do the work.
There are about 6,000 block captains in Philadelphia who are responsible for just over one-third of every city block. While the role and responsibilities of block captains are open to individual interpretation, there's a general assumption that the block captain is responsible for keeping the streets clean and safe to the best of their ability. But that role can certainly be taken further. During my term as block captain, I was responsible for hosting our annual block party and making sure our neighbors were all getting along. I mediated multi-generational feuds and was sometimes known as the complaints department. Tracy used the opportunity to share information with her neighbors and become a hub for resources.
I became the person not just like the police over cleanliness and upkeep, but I became one who started disseminating information because I start going to neighborhood meetings and hearing about different programs, et cetera. So I would just take as many flyers as I could and I would disseminate the flyers to the neighbors. I would get the kids to come out with promises of donuts, and then it graduated to a cookout.
In addition to a can-do attitude and love for your block, the best block captains are the ones who take issues into their own hands. That's how Tracy and Eugene both got started.
What motivated me was the alley was a mess, and the city has a program, one-time clip will help actually clean out your alley for you. And different of the neighbors and I had been slowly working away at it, but it was going to work a whole lot better if we could get the clip in to help us. And the block captain is the one who requests that. So we didn't have a block captain. Our old block captain moved away several years ago. And so I said, well, someone's got to do it. Talked with my neighbors, decided, okay, I'll nominate myself, collected signatures, and away we went.
I became a block captain because I wanted the block to remain the same way as when I moved into the block. It was a beautiful block. Everybody came out and kept the lawns mowed and the street clean. And so I just said, hey, why not? I know for a fact when people come to my block, the thing that catches them the most is the cleanliness, quiet, the beauty of the block.
Our story is fairly common across the city. Neighbors wanting to take some form of action often realize the authority of having a block captain could gain access to faster, perhaps even better services. Most city blocks don't have a captain, so there are plenty of opportunities for people who want to become more involved. Eugene says it's a rewarding experience.
If you care about service and are interested in serving your like neighbors, this is about as directly serving your neighbors as you can get. The barrier to entry is not very high. The demands are not very high, and you get a chance to actually benefit the lives of your immediate neighbors.
But while Eugene found the process of becoming a block captain simple, not everyone has the same experience. The paperwork to get started isn't available online. You actually have to call the Philadelphia More Beautiful Committee's office to request the paperwork. And sometimes those requests go unfulfilled. Tracy says it's become even harder to sign up over time.
At one point, you could get forms and you could recruit people yourself and you could give them the form and show them how to do it. Now they tell you, you give them the number to the person. Okay, that saves me time. 100% of the instances that I referred block captains to the Philadelphia Mural Beautiful officer, not one was contacted.
In addition to not having the application easily available, some residents complain that the city doesn't offer a way to get a list of all the block captains in the city. And that makes it hard for block captains to coordinate activities or share important messages about things like election information or safety during the pandemic.
There are people that are very interested in being a block captain, but the Philadelphia More Beautiful Committee, as it stands now, has not evolved. They're going on a 30-plus anniversary. Then there should be a block captain on every block.
Think you're up for the task of being a block captain? You can join our ranks and support your block by calling Philadelphia More Beautiful Committee at 215-685-3971 to request an application. This is Jen DeVore, former block captain, signing off for Block by Block.
A nonprofit called Stars to Docs is working to encourage more Black and Brown students in the region to pursue careers in medicine and science. They connect middle school students with African-American doctors and leaders in STEM fields, and they share resources to help motivated youth succeed. The group is holding an event at Friends Select School on Saturday, June 8th, and my co-host Sherry Pennington spoke with the founder and president of Stars to Docs to find out more.
Only about 5.7% of physicians in the United States identify as Black or African-American, and that's according to the latest data from the Association of American Medical Colleges. Nathaniel Evans is an African-American physician in Burlington County, New Jersey, who wants to change that, and that's why he founded Stars to Docs.
There's not been much advance in the involvement of Black people in medicine over the last 40, 50 years that I've been in medicine. And so I think I've learned some things over the interim, and also some things have become available online that are great resources that kids who are motivated can take advantage of.
So why do you think there's that lack of interest? And what can you do and what do you hope to do to get kids involved? Because I agree with you. I've never had a Black doctor, only one, a dermatologist. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was my narrow window that I looked at, but it's definitely needed. I wish I would have had one.
Well, you're right, Sherry. Mm-hmm. There definitely is a shortage of Black physicians, and the interest level tends to not be very high among our youth, not as high as would be ideal, partly because of what they're exposed to. I mean, there's a great interest in sports among our youth. The opportunities in employment in sport are quite limited. The number of people who are going to become professionals in sport, very, very small. In fact, a study by the NCAA said that of kids who are varsity players in high school, 1 out of 16,000 will get a sports contract.
I asked Dr. Evans, what factors did he think were contributing to the low number of Black and Brown students enrolling in the medical field?
Well, definitely finances are a factor in the relatively small number of Black medical students. Another factor is what kids are told when they're in elementary school and middle school about their potential. I mean, unfortunately, the teachers who look at kids, and based upon how they look, they will think they can't go in certain directions professionally or in their futures. And it's very easy to turn a kid off or sort of undermine a kid's belief in their potential by telling them that you can't do that, or you should look at something else. That's one factor. But there are many factors in the relatively small number of Black students. Another, of course, is what Sherry mentioned. She's not seen very many Black doctors at all. Many kids have never seen a Black doctor. So when they think of a physician, they don't think of themselves. Mm-hmm. So there are several factors. Our mission is to try to address some of those factors. And for the kids who are inclined to want to do this kind of work, to give them the resources and the insight, the guidance, the empowerment that can help them succeed.
Yeah, so let's talk about the program that you have coming up. Exactly what is the focus? Who are you trying to recruit? And what outcomes you expect at the end of that program?
Well, the focus is on the fact that motivated students going into 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grades, the kids who are motivated academically in those grades are what we call stars. They've got great potential for the future. And we want to, first of all, let them know that they're stars, and also let them know that their future is very bright, and show them some tools and ways to assure that they will succeed academically going forward. On our site, we've actually recently added some tools to allow a person to assess themselves. For example, if you've taken sixth grade math, you can go on our site, our website, and see if you've learned sixth grade math. So one of the things we want to do is show kids how to assess themselves. We want to show them how to utilize certain tools to strengthen their knowledge. We also want to show them how to communicate with others to collaborate for success in STEM. We see our kids collaborate all the time on the basketball court. We see our kids collaborate all the time on the football field. Mm-hmm. But it's also possible to collaborate in building your STEM knowledge, building your math knowledge. And we'll show them some ways to do that. And we'll also introduce them to some young Black physicians.
The first Stars to Docs workshop will be held on June 8th from 9 to 12:30 at Friends Select School on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. You can register and find out more about the event at starstodocs.org or by calling 267-882-7385. For Block by Block, I'm Sherry Pennington.
Yeah Philly is a nonprofit that hosts a space in West Philadelphia that's like a second home for young people who have been impacted by violence. The program was founded in 2018 by two Black Philadelphia youth workers, and the Yeah stands for Youth Empowerment for Advancement Hangout. My co-host, Thomas Hagen, recently visited Yeah Philly to talk with staff and young people about what brought them there and what they do together in that space.
Yeah Philly is a row house at the corner of 53rd and Walton Avenue in West Philadelphia, and it mostly blends in on the block. The directors of the program designed it to feel like a home, where local people ages 15 to 24 can come spend time, play video games, record music in the studio, and cook dinners together. Then gradually work with staff to take bigger steps, like addressing their mental health, beating legal cases, finding new job opportunities, and improving the conditions they live in. Their co-founder, Mr. James, says this process has to happen slowly, and it starts with building trust. This is partly why they don't call their program an intervention or even a safe space. It's just a hangout.
The hangout comes from just knowing that most people call it their programs a safe space, safe haven, and we want to be real about what we do here. And we don't want to say that folks are safe because the young people who come here take a risk getting here. When they leave, they take a risk getting back to where they need to go at. The easy thing is to say, I'm going to carry a firearm. But we know long term, that's not the ideal solution for our young people. But we also struggle with saying, don't carry a firearm. Yeah. And folks say, hey, put down the guns, put down the guns. Yes, that's put down the guns, but we have to be able to replace that with some form of safety that young people feel they need and they want, but also equal playing field with folks who might want to target them. And the reality is some of these young people, there's folks that want to kill them.
Staff acknowledge that young people feel unsafe here in their own neighborhood, and their program won't change that feeling overnight.
So it's more than a safe haven. It's more of a come hang out and be who you are and be authentic.
Young people show up whenever they want, however they want.
We don't want this to look like an institution. It has to reflect what we all should want it to reflect, like a home setting. Folks can kind of have different spaces where they can feel safe and identify the space they want to be in. They want to be upstairs. They want to be around a music studio. They want to come in and out. The biggest thing for us is being able to have resources in their faces. So that way, if they decide they are ready for it at the moment, they can focus on those things. Because we push IDs, vital documents, and driver's license. And in some young people, all they know that's a need, they know the opportunity to get it through us is not going to go away. So we just have to wait until they're ready.
Navigating legal issues or processing trauma is not always what staff are talking about here, but it is embedded in their mission.
So we have our biggest component, which is our violent crime initiative. We have young people 15 to 24, people who have been arrested for what's considered a violent charge, which means carjackings, firearm charge, some murder, attempted murder, aggravated assault. Most of our referrals come from public defenders, attorneys, probation officers, sitting judges, community members in general, but we prefer to have young people refer folks they already know. So that way the trust is already there and we just have to make that connection.
I spoke with Key, an 18-year-old who has been spending time at Yeah Philly since he was 16, when he got referred there by Children's Hospital Philadelphia while he was recovering from a gunshot wound.
After I got shot, I was going to different programs. I ain't never know Yeah Philly, what they do and all that. I was just coming here for the studio. Then I started coming more, and they started, like, showing love and stuff like that. That's why I stuck with them. They, like, brought me closer. Like, I was a family member. I ain't gonna lie. I wanted to stay forever for me. On my first birthday here, when I was 10 and 17, well, they came out of nowhere and gave me a birthday cake. I was never the one that do, like, birthday, but they really did that. I ain't gonna lie. That joke brought some tears to my eyes.
Does coming here feel different than going to school, or does it feel similar?
I'd be like, f*** school sometimes. What I mean by that is, like, after school, I'd be like, f*** that school. I'd go straight to the program. Like,
you feel like you'd rather come here?
Yeah, hell yeah. What? Okay. I can learn a lot from here than I can learn from school.
He says if other people his age feel nervous about engaging with youth programs like Yeah Philly because of discouraging experiences they've had at school or job training programs, they should still give this space a chance because it feels different.
They don't get it until they see it. For me, they got to come here and see what we do. You come here, you're going to be walking with open arms, for sure. You play the game, go to the studio, make a song, anything. You get real funny here. For real.
Later that night, the living room is full of sounds of football games on PlayStation 5 and teens blasting their own songs, like this one that Key made with another friend downstairs in the studio. And this goes on almost every night till 9 or 10 p.m. when a staff member gives a ride home to young people who live in West or Southwest. To see how Yeah Philly works, come visit their market on 53rd Street, where they employ teens to give out free groceries every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Or see what their young interns are posting on their Instagram page, at YEAH Philly. For Block by Block, I'm Thomas Hagen. At a community theater in South Philly, young children, teenagers, and adults can learn about improv, playwriting, and other creative skills. Block by Block reporter Mish Casares spent a day at the theater with a group of 5 to 10-year-olds and their instructors as they developed an original performance.
Inside this small community theater on East Passyunk, big things are happening. There's an after-school program, performance and playwriting classes, all-ages theater workshops, family-friendly performances, and BYOB improv shows for adults. On the day that I visited, there was an all-day theater program for elementary-age kids, which runs when schools are closed. This is Sawbona Creativity Project.
Sawbona.
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 Who came up with the name of this camp?
That would be Tanya Morgan. She's the creator, owner, and operator of Sawbona Creativity Project.
Sawbona is a Zulu greeting that means we see you. And it's saying that me and my ancestors see you. We see each other. We come together with our flaws and all. What we do here at Sawbona is teach social-emotional learning skills through creative arts. And my focus is kids in grades K through 12. There's also adult classes here too, with that same teaching, that social awareness, self-awareness, things like that.
Adults and children alike have seen the positive impact of Tanya's curriculum. I spoke to Mary. Her daughter Maeve has participated in many shows and activities with Sawbona since its inception in 2022.
I love that she feels more confident than ever, and she's really learning a lot of different things, and I couldn't have been more proud of her throughout this process.
I spoke to Maeve as she was preparing for the show today, a series of songs and dances from the Disney movie Moana. You can hear the confidence in her voice, and she uses that confidence to support her fellow campers when they get nervous.
I feel excited because I've
done a show before, so I pretty much know what I'm doing. I think you should just believe in yourself and do what you can.
Opening a theater space like this is a dream come true for Tanya, one that has been a long time in the making.
Thinking about my own childhood and what I wish I had, like a neighborhood theater that I could walk to, just sounds like a dream to me. Or even just my parents being able to drive me around the corner and take an acting class, improv, musical theater, where it wasn't $400, $500, or so time consuming that, you know, I couldn't do anything else. Growing up, I didn't have any of those things. I didn't know that you could even take acting classes until I was in my senior year and an acting teacher came. There was like a special or something, and I took the acting class. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever done in my entire life, and I want to do this forever. And ever since then, I've just been chasing it.
Tanya has also received a lot of community support to make her programs the best they can be. She also has an amazing and hardworking staff with members like Jade.
My favorite part of working at Sabona is the fact that I have the freedom to create with the kids, and that the kids are also very keen to just jumping into whatever I ask of them, and their imagination is wild, and I just love working with that the most.
Sabona is a space for creative freedom and expression, and it all stems from Tanya's philosophies.
Our number one rule here is as long as you are safe and you're keeping yourself safe and others safe, you have free rein to move around the space and sit where you want as long as you're being safe. This is a space where I am their teacher. I'm the facilitator more so. They created all of this. Like, it was them improvising and them working together, talking to each other, saying, all right, you do this, you do that. And I was just there encouraging it. Like, this is beautiful and amazing. Yes, do it again, do it more. And they created this whole show in one day.
And the kids love it. But don't take my word for it. Here's what 8-year-old Eva had to say.
I would like to say to other people who are thinking about doing this, they should do it if they like theater, dancing, singing, and eating lunch. It is one of the best camps I've ever went to.
And as much as the kids are a fan of the program, Tanya is a fan of the kids.
Support kids in their the wackiness. Allow them the freedom to be just weird and to come up with ideas that they probably wouldn't feel comfortable saying in their regular classroom. There's not enough risk-taking. So have them take a theater class where they get to say the weird thing and the first thing that comes to mind. And I write it down and we turn it into a story. Like, it is now your story. It is now real. And you're now a playwright.
You can learn more about the project at sawbonacreativityproject.org. That's spelled S-A-W-U-B-O-N-A, creativityproject.org. Or on Instagram at sawbonacreativity. And at the end of a long and exciting day for everyone involved, including myself, the kids put on an amazing show.
Thank you!
For Block by Block, I'm Mish Kosaris.
Block by Block is produced by Kaiser Carter, Oscar Castro, David Cheney Jr., Mish Kosaris, Jen DeVore, Barbara Martin Ellis, Sunny Morgan, POC, Shania White, and us,
Thomas Hagen
and Sherry Pennington. POC is our board operator tonight.
Brad Linder is Radio News Managing Editor for WPPM. Peter Liu is Radio Operations Manager. And Allison Durham is WPPM's Radio Program Manager.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Block by Block featuring more stories about issues affecting life in the Philly region. And you can find past episodes of the show on PhillyCam's SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Thanks for listening.